Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 24th day of August, 2019. Getting towards the fall, my favorite time of year. Well, we're going to look at some interesting questions in the second half of this weekend. I call it being saved. And maybe this will pertain to some of you. These are really off-the-wall questions, and I always like it when somebody's off the wall with me. I just love it. And it means that to me that they're paying attention and they're looking at life from a different point of view. And some of these are, well, tongue-in-cheek, but they're wonderful. And I hope you enjoy the program today. Please remember, you are enjoying this program due to the generosity of people who are my sponsors. They give quarterly, monthly. They do some amazing things with their donations, allowing me to go to hospice and do my BATMO work and my work in general, helping people just, you know, have no money at all. And I can do the things I do that many of you don't know about and you don't need to know, but they're very helpful to these people. And I hope you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our efforts here on Aspire, my effort, really. I'm a one-man show, so there's no crew here that you have to support. If you have been enjoying our radio programs, our TV programs, the things that are offered on our Aspire website, if any of this has meant anything to you, I hope you will become a sponsor. A sponsor is someone who makes a donation quarterly or monthly, and they do so, you know, with the object in mind of service to humankind. And your gift goes a lot further than you might imagine. There are many things even my sponsors don't know. So here's the deal. For your sponsorship, you get the message of the month each and every month. You can download it from our website, or I'd be happy to send you a copy. You get access to all of my commentaries and podcasts and videocasts. And these are really for people who are serious about their inner work and are, well, working on themselves. I think you'll find them interesting if you're that kind of person. And of course, you get access to over 122 discourses that I did for my TV programs on every various subject I did over the 25, 30 years that I've been doing TV. So I hope you will enjoy those. They're very, very succinct. They're in depth, and they will help you if you have the heart for it. So anyway, that's all yours for free for being a sponsor. If you're interested, please come to the website at aspire.org, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G, and there at the top you will see support. If you click on that, a drop menu will ensue, and you can read all about why support Aspire. I need salvation. That's what Joy says, and she lives in Colorado. I am very concerned about myself. The pursuit of my family and the resolution of getting along with them is a big-time problem for me, Greg. Why is this such an issue? Joy. You need salvation. I thought that was so cute. I want you to know, Joy, you took my heart when you said that. I couldn't resist your email. It was so you are reluctant with your family. You're having trouble with your family, and you want some kind of resolution with them. Good luck. You're probably among the majority of people who have to deal with their family. I don't know why anybody deals with their family. I really don't. You either are a person on your own, living your life, and willing to share your life with those who want to share it with you and you want to share theirs, or you don't. But the obligation to me of family and of thinking that because you have a family, you have to do certain things and you must be in a certain way and blah, blah, blah. All of that seems, you know, totally ridiculous to me. But then again, I'm an only child. What do I know? You know what I mean? I don't know. I've got cousins. We talk once a year, barely. And that's about as far as it goes with them. They don't like me that much, but that's okay. I just need to say this to you. Be your own person. And if you can be your own person and do your own thing and be authentic to your heart, your authentic heart, not your human heart. If you can be authentic to your heart and, so to speak, let love live you, then you're doing everything you can. And either they like it or they don't. And you, what most people need is salvation from their family. What did Jesus say about this? He was adamant about it. He talked about it 2-3 times, I believe. He talked about your greatest enemy are those of your own household. He talked about the idea if you do not hate your mother, your brother, your sister, your life, your land, you know, the whole thing, you cannot be my disciple. He never called his mother Mary mom, mother. Never did he call her woman. He had her in the category mentally and emotionally of a human being, but he did not look at her in the proximity of being related to her. You remember when he was teaching and he was in a small house and one of his disciples said to him, your mother, your brother, and your sisters are out there, you know, outside. In other words, are you going to make room for them? And he looked at this crowd of people, this tiny crowd he had in the house, and he said, who is my mother and who is my brother and but those who seek to do the will of my Father? So I don't know what to say to you, Joy. I don't know if your devotion to love, your devotion to spiritual awakening has any substance to it. Now, if it doesn't have any substance to it, which most people don't, then you're going to give in to all this and start thinking to yourself, well, you know, they're my family and I got to, you know, kowtow to them. And if that's what you want to do and that's the way it is for you, that's the way it is for you. Okay? And I'm not here to tell you you're bad, evil, or wrong. This is what you need to do. But evidently by your email, you're getting persecuted by your family. I don't know what it's for. How do I know? But what you need to do probably is explain to them where you're at and see where, you know, the ball rolls after that. And if you can do something like that, if you can see what's really happening without, you know, taking it personally or allowing them to get angry and cause a big ruffle, then you're fine. But, you know, on a general level, this whole thing of wanting to belong to family and making family first, this is a DNA thing. And in the old days, when we were prehistoric, which we still are, you had a family, you made one, you found a woman, if you're a man, and you impregnated her. Not out of love, just impregnated her, because that's your instinct. And then you would go and she'd have a baby, you know, and then he would have to go and feed that baby because she couldn't. And he'd get all emotional probably about it and think, well, you know, we need help here surviving. So people didn't live long then. So if the kid got to be maybe 8-10 years old, he could be useful. And then the guy that impregnated this lady would be getting older and the kid would be getting younger and stronger and he could go out and do some of the things that the old guy couldn't. It was all pragmatic. It was all about survival. You can figure it out. This isn't anything that, you know, it's about rocket science. But if you start to look at it from the point of view of why we have family and why we feel akin to family, it's deep in our genetics as well. Our DNA and our genetics play out in so many different ways. And with the genetics and the DNA playing out and wanting us to have a brood of people, a tribe, and then go out and find a way to survive is the only means of a family. And to make war against each other and against other families, it gets ugly. It does. So Joy, it's a beautiful name, by the way. Give it up. Just love them the way they are and realize that you share genetics and DNA and blood and bone with them. And if they can't get you, if they don't understand you, if it doesn't compute with them, it doesn't compute. Walk away. Help them when you can. Ignore them when they're being gnarly. And love the one you're with, which is within your heart. Do, 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 do. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Family. Next one comes from Gail. She does not tell me where she lives. I find that I have an empathetic personality and that I really care about my persona and what people think of me. Am I stupid, Gail? Well, Gail, I don't know if you're stupid. What would I know about that? I mean, okay, so we're just going to ignore that one because I don't know you. Some people really are stupid. They really are. They're emotional and they're stupid. I've been stupid. Everybody's been stupid. So don't worry about that part. Just you find that your emotionality betrays you. You find that you care about what people think of you. There are four things I have learned in this lifetime, okay? These four things I will take to the grave with me. They're absolute, okay? And if you understand these four things and you can put them in the perspective of which I am about to give to you, it might help you. The first thing is you can't teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and annoys the pig. And that's... Mark Twain is credited for that. I don't know if he did, but there you are. You can't, you know, once a person has made up their mind, that's the way it is. It isn't going to change. So you have to understand that, Gail. No matter what you do, if a person doesn't want to learn, if they don't want to mature, if they don't want to grow, if they don't want to do things that are important, you know, to the development of attaining their soul, there's nothing you can think, say, or do to change all that. That's just the way it's going to be. And you must understand that. You have to accept that. There are certain people I can be close to. There are certain people I can't be close to. I can't be close to a person who doesn't want to be close, has intimacy problems, friendship problems, things like that. And you can't teach a person to live outside their genetics that they have accepted. Our genetics are very powerful things. And if you understand genetics and how they work, you understand the limitations that any one of us would have if we live by the body. Robert M. Sapolsky wrote a beautiful book called Behave. It's about the biology of our humanness. And if you have the courage to read the book, you will understand exactly what I'm talking about. People are only doing what they can do out of their biology. This is why I'm in a spiritual practice. I'm here to transcend that. I am not here to amend it. If you try to amend your humanness, you will miss. The second thing I've learned while being here on this planet, no, absolutely no good deed goes unpunished. No matter how hard I try to help people, if there is a way to get insulted, to get angry, to get hostile, to get ugly, people will do it. And you have to understand this is what's going on in the world today. People want to be ugly in the name of righteousness. Righteousness is more important because it's about self-preservation. And when I live in self-preservation, I miss the meaning of my own existence. So there you are there. No matter what you do, no matter what you do, somebody's going to find fault with it. No matter how hard you work, no matter how earnest you might be, somebody's going to find fault with you. You're going to have to learn to accept that and be with it. Oh, not inspiring? Okay, well, let's go to the next one. Superman, flying away from Lois Lane, looked at her and said, and I quote, "Nothing good ever lasts long here," end quote. This is also very true. If there is a way to screw things up, to muck the duck here, to turn everything from a chance for peace and kindness, a sake of love, for that of disruption, chaos, utter human stupidity, we will find the way. And we will do it with great pride and with strategic ingenuity to create that. Nothing good ever lasts long here. And people think it's God's will, or it isn't. It's not God. It's not the devil. There is no God and devil. It's me and you. It's how we live from within ourselves. When I don't put love first, I won't sacrifice my selfish ways. When I won't sacrifice my selfish ways, I will miss. And when I miss, I will start to do things that are against the higher good of all that's involved. Selfishness and pride are huge things on planet Earth. I can't even begin to tell you how important they are to the pedestrian mentality. Your pride is very big. And you want to be proud of, and you want people to think well of you, and you want to be proud of how people think of you. So if that is the case, my dear, there is going to be issues in your life, and you're never going to find inner peace. You have to understand, this is not a world where perfection exists. This is a world where people are learning about love. They're just beginning the practice of learning love. So you have to be patient with human beings. And you have to understand, if there is any way to ruin it, they'll find the way to ruin it. And that's just the way human beings are. And if you can understand that and accept it with compassion, you will have done a great service to humankind and yourself. The last one, real quick. Nobody, and I mean absolutely nobody, likes you anyway, no matter what you think, say, or do. Nobody likes you anyway. People only like us or love us because we have something to do with their benefit, their survival. And a lot of us play the role of self-preservation for other people. And a lot of people make self-preservation for us. We have not learned how to get along with one another. So go take a look at the TV series I did, Gail, on Nobody Likes You Anyway. Just go take a look at it. If you become a sponsor, you can have the discourses that go to that and all the other ones I've done. But just go look at that series, Nobody Likes You Anyway. It's a dilly whopper. And nobody wants to admit that this is what's going on, that the king has no clothes. But there you are. Nobody, and I mean nobody, likes you anyway. I know you think your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your kids. No, not really. No, they wouldn't. You see, for them to love you, they'd have to love everyone. I used to give discourses when I was young and foolish, and I would talk to the congregation. And I once did a discourse on children by Cahil Gibran, and I made the true statement that if you don't love my child as much as you love your own, then you don't love your own either. And boy, did that start a hullabaloo. Because we think, well, I love my kid. I don't have to love your kid to love my kid. Oh, we do. Love is love. It is not based on the idea of preference. Love is unconditional. It is total. It is everything that is worth loving for. So it's a very difficult thing for human beings to understand. So don't try to live your life according to the limits of the four things I gave you. Transcend those four limits. Don't let those be your guide. In this world, it's a tough place because we have a lot of people who are really insane, crazy, people who have lost it. And I've watched many a student lose their mind, their calculated mind, and they go from one extreme to another, and they're nuttier than fruitcakes. And it just surprised the heck out of me as I was going on in my teaching. You know, if I were to say something to a crowd of young people or people who were going to be serving humankind in teaching, I would say, be ye aware. Be ye aware. Well, I hope that helped you, Gail. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. The last question. I'm running out of time here. I'm religious, which means I'm righteous, right? I'm also at times ridiculous, but I can't admit that I don't believe at all. Lillian, if you don't believe at all, why are you there? Why not set out a path for yourself and find out what's really going on and be conscious about that and go and seek the way in your heart? Go find a teacher, someone who will really sit on you, so to speak, and not let you go until you quote-unquote get it. You know, to teach this kind of work, you have to have a rigorous mentality. I am very rigorous about what I put my students through. Very rigorous, because I love them and I understand where they're at, and I'm more than willing to lose the lessers for the ones that are mores. And this has always proved to be very powerful in my life. Many people will say they want the way, the truth, and the light, but they don't. They want what fits into their mentality, their pedestrian mentality. And the minute they find out that something isn't the way they thought it was, or they get insulted, or they, it's too hard, and it gets too hard, or they think that they're going to lose their comfortable little life, they're out of there as fast as they can, because they don't really want to know what's going on. They don't really want to understand the way, the truth, and the light that lives inside them. So there you are. Insincerity is a killer, and it destroys a lifetime and makes it very difficult for the average person to spiritually awaken. So with all of this said and done, if you find yourself religious and you don't want to be, then don't be. If you're going to be religious, I say be totally religious until you can't stand yourself anymore and go from there. And if you can do all of that with a sense of humor, you'll start to understand a little bit about what is happening within you and how you have forsaken yourself and why you might need a authority figure like a pope or a Dalai Lama or something to guide you. What you need is your heart, your authentic heart. You need to be motivated by love. And if you can't be motivated by love, then nothing I would ever say or anyone else would ever matter much to you, and you would miss the whole thing about what it means to let love live you. I'm out of here. Thank you for your beautiful question, Lillian, and I hope it helped. And thank you all for listening. I'll be back on the air next weekend. Have a wonderful weekend, and please know you are very much loved, no matter what you may think. You live in a world of great possibility for love. Let love live you. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.